Thank you, guys. Good morning to everybody online, and we want to especially welcome Las Vegas. Gosh, I miss you guys in Vegas. Coming back to soon, I'll be talking to you and just miss you a lot. I miss the city, everything. Love you guys. Welcome, Vegas. Welcome online watchers and viewers. We're so glad you chose us today. We realize again that you can choose a lot of people to listen to, and you chose us, and that's special to us. So bless you. I've been gone for several weeks, been up in the mountains with God, and been all alone. It's been wonderful. Next week, before I get into what I'm going to say today, next week we're going to do a plus one. So I want all of you online people, they're going to tell you how to send your plus one in right here. Here's how you do it if you're online. And if you come next week, bring a dollar with you. And what we've decided to do is bless a small business this month with our plus one. And we're going to do this every month or maybe every 2 weeks. We're going to bless a small business and tell them that we appreciate them and we're glad that they're still here. So bring your plus one next week. That's the only announcement we have today. But going back to what I was saying, I've been up on the mountains by myself a lot for the last few weeks. And God and I have been talking. And I'm coming back today and I don't have a spectacular sermon for you. I just want to share what's on my heart. Now, I think my wife was glad to see me go. I've been so worked up with all this stuff that's been going on, and you guys sending me videos hasn't helped any at all. I think my wife said, praise God, he's going to the mountains. I heard a story a while back about a lady who texted her husband, and she said, I just heard on the news today that they found a hideous corpse with his hair not combed, and he had a cigar hanging out of a mouthful of yellow teeth, and they were ugly, and he had a beer in his hand, and I thought I would just text you to see if you were okay. If you give me a ring, I would appreciate it. That's a little bit of bitterness, huh? Going, wow, you know, this lockdown's getting to me. I think my wife was glad to see me go. Now, has anyone told you that we're in a mess? This country is in a mess. I mean, that's why I'm not coming back with a sermon today. I have been so engulfed. I've been so, you know, just focused in on what's going on. And I've been walking and talking with God every evening and every morning saying, God, what's the answer? I mean, I've never seen a time where there's more hatred, more confusion, more hypocrisy, more fear. I just saw a video yesterday of a young lady and man in Los Angeles who had come out of a fancy coffee shop and saw two guys sitting there on the bench who weren't wearing masks, and they got into a heated debate, and she threw hot coffee on him. He got up and wrestled into the ground, hit her husband in the nose, and I go, you gotta be kidding me. I saw another video just yesterday of a lady that threw another lady down with a cane, an older lady, on the ground in Walmart because she wasn't wearing a mask. And these videos just keep coming in and coming in. And Karen is everywhere. I mean, we see San Francisco Karen, LA Karen, Home Depot Karen. A thought hit me the other day. How do we get by calling someone Karen? Taking that name and identifying a certain type of person. I mean, our values are so mixed up today. You couldn't do that with any other group. You couldn't identify someone from another religion or a person that's different than you by a name. You couldn't do that. There goes a Bubba. There goes a Willie. You couldn't. Social media would assassinate you. Our values are so mixed up. They're not making sense. Nothing makes sense. We're making athletic teams change their names. We're making Trader Joe's change the names of some of their products because it offends us. We can deface property, and I believe in Black Lives Matter. Believe me, I do. I don't believe in the organization, but I believe they do matter. But we can deface property writing Black Lives Matters, but we can't write Jesus Saves in the road. And so our values are just a little bit mixed up. Governing authorities have been all over guns for the last 2 years. It's all we've heard. Ban assault rifles, ban them. Yet we're carrying them in the streets today. White people, people of color, everybody's carrying them in the streets, and nothing's being said. It's just all mixed up. Someone wrote an article today called Outrage Pornography. And in the article, they talked about how that what we're doing is kind of like pornography today. We're just getting high. We're getting off on our adrenaline flow of using people for our excitement. We're going around looking for things to be unhappy about. We're going around looking for things to be upset about, things to be offended about. We're going around looking for them. And then we're assassinating people. We're getting high on doing that. And like pornography, we're using people for our pleasure without any commitment to them. And it was a very good article. You ought to look it up. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. Dr. Fauci promotes masks, and then we catch a picture of him in the stands at a baseball game with no mask on. Las Vegas, I feel sorry for you. Casinos get more privileges than the church does in Las Vegas. We're told in Las Vegas that casinos, amusement parks, restaurants, entertainment venues, they can all have 50% of their capacity, but churches can only have 50 people. And so there's so much that isn't right. There's so much we could be mad about. Is this not just one big social conditioning experiment maybe our government's doing to see how far they can push people? I don't know. I'm as confused as you are, but I know this. I know there's something going on behind the scenes. And I know this also, that no matter how awful the days get, God is still on the throne and we're the church of the living Christ. He's on our side. He's with us. And we've been anointed with power. I couldn't get away from Chronicles this week where it says, if my people who are called by my name. Now that's if. Listen to me, it's if. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. It doesn't say he'll heal the church. I'll heal their land. If my people will humble themselves and pray, will we do that? It takes humility to say, I'm going to start praying every day and I'm going to trust God to do what we can't do. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now, it doesn't say let CNN News richly dwell in you. Let Fox News. It says let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Look at Matthew 16:18. I also say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower my church. Listen to what General Michael Flynn said. He said 2% of the passionate will control 98% of the indifferent 100% of the time if we don't wake up. Can I say that again? 2% of the passionate will control 98% of the indifferent 100% of the time if we don't wake up. Now let's wake up, church. I mean, today I'm coming out with a t-shirt. I got flip-flops on, and this is the way I would like to dress all the time, but my wife won't let me. But today we're having an outside service, a big outside service, so I got by with a t-shirt and flip-flops. But you know what? I've come here today not to preach a fancy sermon. I've been away with God. I'm all worked up. I'm full of passion. And I just want to get some things off my chest. Now, listen to me. I want you to look at a passage in 2 Samuel 23, 11 and 12. This is talking about David's mighty men, and it says, now after the one other mighty man was Shammah, the son of Agi, a Hazarite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But Shammah, he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now listen to me. As much as I would like to see change in Chicago, as much as I would like to see change in Minneapolis, as much as I'd like to see change in Los Angeles, that's not my place of responsibility. Right now, God has me in Bakersfield and Las Vegas. And so these cities are our responsibility. I believe God has strategically placed churches in every city in the United States, and their first priority is their city. Oh, if we would just focus in on that. Our job is to influence Bakersfield, influence Las Vegas, and capture them for Jesus. Now, church, do you realize the power we have if we unite our resources, unite our prayers, if we all get on the same page? I mean, the world was changed with 12 men in the New Testament days. Do you know what we can do with thousands of people in Las Vegas and Bakersfield if we focus our energy, if we come together? I mean, our power is unlimited. Get behind our leadership. I'm going to call you to do one thing for the next 10 days, and then maybe we'll renew it. But I want you to mark this down in your mind. I want you to go to prayer at 10 o'clock a.m. every morning. If you're at work, excuse yourself and take a bathroom break or whatever. 10 o'clock in the morning, I want you to take a break, and I want all of us praying the same three things. Here's the three things I want you to pray. I want you to pray against the devil's tactics to destroy the church. See, part of me believes that this whole coronavirus thing, one of the main purposes of the devil in this thing is to destroy the kingdom of God, to destroy the family unit. Now, that's the first thing I want you praying about daily, taking authority against the devil's tactics to destroy the church. How do you do that? Just get alone and say, in Jesus' name, you ruler demons of Bakersfield and Las Vegas, we take authority over you and we disallow you to destroy our city. We come against any plans that you've devised against the church and we cast those down in Jesus' name. We come against them. You will not succeed. We pray against your kingdom. That's the first thing. Second thing, pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Some of us have forgotten, I know, with all this social distancing, that's the plan of the devil, to get us to forget sharing the gospel. But I want you to ask God for opportunities to share the gospel. And the third thing, I want you to ask God to give the leaders of the church wisdom so we will know how to plan and how to look into the future. So I'm going to make this easy. Dow. You've heard of the Dow, Dow Jones. Well, I want Dow, D-O-W. You're going to pray against the devil, pray for opportunities, and pray for wisdom. Look at Isaiah 5:20 in the NIV. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look at that in the Message Bible. Doom to you all who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in place of light and light in place of darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what we've done today in today's society. We don't know right from wrong. Why? Because we've walked away from God and the absolutes of the Holy Word of God. We don't know what's right. We don't know what's wrong. We've got to come back to the Word of God. Now, before I go any further today, I want to remind you all of an elementary truth about maturity. One of the elementary characteristics of a mature person is that they can agree to disagree with a smile on their face. Immature people can't do that. They can't agree to disagree. When I watched that video of that lady throwing coffee and those two guys outside the coffee shop because they were arguing over masks, I thought, that lady is immature. She should have said something nice, said something uplifting, and walked away. What do you mean? She should have looked at those guys and said, you know, we can talk all day, man, but I'm going to pray that you start seeing the need to wear a mask. And you know, we're going to agree to disagree, brother. By the way, I like your shirt. That's maturity. But so many people today are showing their immaturity by their inability to agree to disagree. Now, I quite possibly are going to step on some toes in the next 20, 25 minutes. But that's okay. Smile. Agree to disagree. I want to briefly talk to you with the time we have left about five hot topics of the day. And I'm going to tell you that as Christians, I believe I know what our response should be to these things. Let me pray this right here. Father God, open our hearts to truth. And right now, give us the ability to not be offended, but let us hear truth. In Jesus' name, amen. First, let's talk about the hot topic, the virus itself. This virus is real, and it could kill. And we need to respect this virus. For a while there, I thought we were going to lose Pastor Hector. He was very sick with the COVID virus. Now, we are not to live in fear, but to be cautious. Next week or the week after, I'm going to be bringing you a sermon on God, our healer. And I'm going to take a Sunday morning to talk to you about how we build our immune systems up and how we look to God to keep us well during this time. We have an advantage the world doesn't have. Can I say that again? We have an advantage the world doesn't have. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the God who created our bodies, who's leading us and guiding us. For example, I have a vitamin cocktail I take every morning. Every morning. I get up and make my apples and my green juice and my blueberries. And I take vitamin D3. I take vitamin C. I take selenium. I take a little bit of zinc. I have a whole cocktail I take every day. Then, of course, there's the hydroxychloroquine. I have been saying ever since March that hydroxychloroquine is going to do something to this disease. I've been saying and saying it. And when President Trump said it, everybody demanded that that was wrong. But now, if you've been watching the internet, social media, doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor's coming out and saying it's working on the front lines. We don't have to fear this virus anymore, they're saying. Now, they might take me off social media for even mentioning that to you. I'm just saying what the doctors are saying. Now, listen to me. I know they did some tests. You say, well, it doesn't work. The test they did with hydroxychloroquine, from the doctor's point of view, is they did a test on people who were already ill for 2 weeks. And at that point, you can't help them. Then they were giving them four times the amount of the proper dosage, which was causing heart problems. Duh, if I take 10 times more Advil than I should take, I'm going to have some problems. But they've retracted a lot of those studies now. So let's see what happens. This is going to be exciting to watch. Can I tell you something? Don't buy into the narrative you're hearing today. Don't buy into it. We are not hearing the truth in a lot of areas. I mean, don't watch the syndicated news. I mean, try not to watch it because you are being lied to over and over again. Do you understand that the syndicated news, I'm not talking about the local news, the syndicated, the big news industry out there, CNN and all of those, do you realize they're in the entertainment industry? They have to sensationalize things to get an audience. I mean, I'm blown away. As I look at my news feed someday, I saw an article the other day. 13-year-old boy suddenly dies of COVID symptoms. And I saw that, and like the rest of you, I go, oh, no, it's hitting kids. What'd the headline say? 13-year-old boy suddenly dies of COVID symptoms. Then you read the article, he was negative for the virus. He just had some symptoms that look like it. But the headlines really misled you. Another headline, Trump told reporters nobody likes him and then storms out of the press conference. I watched that video 5 times. I never saw that happen. Did you understand that the news media, the devil working through the news media, is trying to tell you how to think and how to feel? Turn them off. Turn them off. The media wants to control you. Let me ask you a question. What are you filled with today? What are you filled with today? Be honest. If I was walking across the stage today with a glass of milk, somebody bumped me, what would come out of that glass? Milk. If you're walking down the sidewalk today and somebody bumps into you, what would come out of you? Some of us are angry. We don't even realize it. We're watching too much news and we're staying in God's presence too little. And so we're angry. What should be our response to the virus? Until we find a cure, respect the virus. Respect it. Don't be in a spirit of fear. Remember again, if statistics are right, over 90% of the people who get this are not going to die of it. But respect it. Number two, here's one that's going to hit some of you hard. Let's talk about masks. That's a hot topic today. Masks. Now, we're going to offend some people maybe, but I believe the Bible tells us what we're to do about masks. The Bible, I believe, tells us that. Now, I personally wear one. Why? Well, because I think they work. I personally wear one when I go to Costco, when I go to Walmart. I don't wear one when I'm distancing from people. If I'm 4 or 6 foot away, I don't wear one. Do I like wearing a mask? No. I can't breathe well. The other day, I got into Home Depot, I felt like I was gasping for breath and I had to take it down going, ha, ha, ha. And then when I wear one, it fogs up my glasses. It's like I need windshield wipers. It's embarrassing. I don't like wearing masks, but I wear them for 2 reasons. Number one, I believe they work. Well, Ron, the doctors and scientists say, oh no, the doctors and scientists say they do work. I'll give you 5 for every 1 that says differently. You want the proof? Light a candle. Put it up here on this piano stand. Try to blow it out with a mask on. You're not going to be able to blow it out. Why? Because your breath's not going out that far. They work. They're going to help curb this thing. But secondly, I wear one because I believe the Bible has instructed me to do it as a Christian. Hello, you never thought of that one, huh? Look at Jeremiah 12 and 5. If you've raced with the men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with the horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Look at that same verse in Message Bible. So Jeremiah, if you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? If you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles really break loose like the Jordan in flood? Whoa. Now listen to me. Christianity, one of the most fundamental doctrines in Christianity is giving up your rights for someone else's. That's fundamental. It's practice time. We need to practice godliness. Listen to me. Something as small as this can affect your graduation in the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you're faithful in small things, then I'll give you bigger things. But you have to be faithful in the small things first. Verses, look at 1 Corinthians 10, 23. I have the right to do anything. I have the right to not wear a mask. But not everything's beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 24. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. But take care with this liberty, that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. And look at Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, until hydroxychloroquine comes out or something else comes out, I'm going to be courteous. I'm going to do the Christian thing. When I go into Walmart, I go into Costco. Besides, they have signs up and they say, wear a mask, please. If you don't want to wear a mask, then go somewhere else. Don't go in there. They have a right to ask you. And if you don't want to wear it, go somewhere else. But I do it for others. There are older people that can die of this disease. A lot of people's kids are working in those places, and I want to respect them. Now, I told you some of you aren't going to like this. What a witnessing tool. I mean, what a witnessing tool this can be. I mean, think about it. You're one of these guys or gals that's macho and says, I don't have to wear a mask for anybody, man. You know, I don't think they work. And you know what? I'm wearing one. Think all of a sudden if you start wearing a mask, somebody says, what, you're wearing a mask now? Yeah, my pastor showed me in scripture the other day where that's probably my duty. You just witnessed to that person. They go, what? Yeah, the Bible's my authority. And pastor showed me. Beside that, even if I didn't see in scripture, the Bible explicitly says, submit to your pastor. Submit to your elders. Well, that'd be such a cool witnessing tool. The next hot topic is racial injustice. Let me talk to you about racial injustice for a moment. Do I think it exists? Oh, I do think it exists. I think we need to go to bat for our people of color community. I do. Years ago, I went on a ride-along with a cop in a large city. And we were driving around, and I knew this cop pretty well, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, he said, well, we're kind of at a downtime. Let's go see what we can find. And there's this black guy walking down the sidewalk. The cop pulls over. They say, all right, hands on the hood. And the brother was going, I didn't do anything. Why? Put your hand on the hood. He frisked him. He just really kind of roughed him up a little bit. And the guy goes, this happens to me all the time. I'm just walking down the street. He said, no, you were walking in the road. And I said, sir, he wasn't walking in the road. Oh, yes, I said, no, I saw him. He wasn't walking in the road. Can't we just leave this guy alone? And I reported it. I was really furious going, this black brother, this person of color, was doing nothing but minding his own business. Yes, we have a problem. Now, I want to say this. I don't believe that all policemen are bad. I think the majority of our policemen are great guys. I believe there's just a one in hundreds maybe, or at least 50s. There's not a lot. We need to pray for our policemen. Encourage them. Those are our sons out there on the street. And we need to. I mean, this world's gone crazy. I could not believe the other day, and I got all worked up, when I saw a little girl, a young girl, her daddy was a policeman and he got killed. And she wrote on social media, she wasn't thinking, she says, Blue Lives Matter. And she didn't know. And you should have seen how cruel people were to her. Your dad deserved to die. He was a cop. I mean, unbelievable. No, maybe that was the politically correct thing to do at that moment, to put Blue Lives Matter. But she didn't know. She just cared about her daddy. And I couldn't believe the hard-heartedness of some of our people in this country that went out and just blasted a little girl who had just lost her daddy. Look at James 2:9. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and you're convicted by the law as a transgressor. Look at 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Look at Romans 10:12. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Colossians 3:25. For he who does wrong will receive the consequence of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. I don't care if you're black or brown or white. If you break the law, you need to go to jail. And if you don't, we need to be all treated the same. And then 1 John 3:15, 16, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer is eternal life abiding in him. Proverbs 22:2, The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord's the maker of them all. Here's what I want you to do this week. In fact, today I'd like you to get alone and say, God, is there any racial prejudice in me at all? Is there any little thing that's in me that makes me prejudiced? And if God shows you something, work it out. We need to be as colorblind as anybody on this earth because God is. Next, bullies on the internet and the news media. Oh, we're being bullied. I mean, again, it's resurfaced again this year. Two people in pretty high positions said that if you vote for President Trump, you're a racist. That's bullying. If you vote for he is a racist, he believes in racism. If he does and you vote for him, you're a racist. Now, I heard somebody else say, okay, we'll take the other side. If you vote for Biden, you're a baby killer. Now, do I believe either one of those are true? No, I don't. I don't believe everybody that votes for Trump's a racist. I don't believe everybody that votes for Biden's a baby killer. But where's this going to stop at? Bullies trying to bully you into voting the way they want you to vote and making you feel bad about the person you vote for. And that is really, really wrong. We've got to stand up to these bullies. There's Christian bullies. They get on the internet and say, Pastor Ron, if you don't start meeting with no conditions, then you don't have faith. If you don't start letting thousands of people come in with no masks and no, so if you don't do that, you don't have faith. Look at what these other pastors are doing. See, I disagree. I believe that as a shepherd, I'm responsible for the health of my flock. And I don't agree with some of these pastors are doing in America. They're going back with no social distancing, no masks. They're hugging, they're singing. And I believe those pastors should be held responsible for the health of their flock. Because you got to respect this virus. And I think that's wrong to do that. See, I'm telling you, we've got to be responsible. Now, I believe at the moment, the eldership of Valley, we are listening to God. We're doing what we think we should do. And I believe that Valley, if any place, we can be safe. We can be safe. We can have people in a 3,400-seat sanctuary, and you can distance them and wear masks. And I think we're safer than Costco, safer than Walmart, safer than Home Depot. I'm not listening so much to what the government's saying. I think we as leaders are trying to do what we think is best to protect our flocks. Last of all, and I'm going to tie this up, let's talk about us. That's a hot point right now in the midst of all of the things going on. Many of us have lost focus. And it's all a part of the devil's plan. He wanted to get us out of the habit of going to church. He wanted to get us out of the habit of doing devotions. This is his plan. I believe the biggest plan of the devil as he exploits this virus is to destroy the kingdom of God. Now, they say that, what, only 25% of the people that go to your church are even watching online anymore. What has happened? Well, I'll tell you. Since I stopped going to the gym, I have my own workout in my bedroom, one of my spare bedrooms, and I don't work out very much. I just can't get motivated. And I think that's what's happening to the church. See, the Bible says, do you get this? The devil is the one who works in and through the sons of disobedience. Who's influencing our people in high government positions? Who's influencing them to make the decisions that they're making? The devil is influencing them. They're hearing his voice. They're not hearing God's voice. And they want to shut the church down. I believe the devil wants to shut the church down by using them as an instrument. He always has and he always will. Now, listen to me. This world is in a mess right now. Suicide rates are zooming up. They're off the hook. Divorces, oh, you won't believe the Facebook message. Divorces are horrible. Depression's an epidemic. We're in a mess. This country's the biggest mess we've ever seen it be in. It's a mess. But why shouldn't it be a mess? We've closed the churches down. If we close the churches down, yes, it's going to be a mess. The churches are the places where people are prayed for. The church is the place where people are counseled. The church is a place where people are encouraged. It's a place where they're taught the truth. Every week at church, people are refocused. Yes, the church has been shut down, and the result is we've got a mess in our country. We've got to get the churches back open. We've got to get our kids back in school. I tell you again, don't believe in the narrative. There are other reasons behind what's going on. And one of the reasons is to make sure that this president we have now does not get reelected. And I think some government officials would just as soon see thousands of people die in order to make that happen. There's a lot of different people movements behind what's going on. People are actually being benefited from what's going on now. A selective few are. But the church has to open back up. Oh, online is good to a point. Online is great. I'm glad we have it. But it can't replace the in-person services. Because the Bible says, where two or more gather together, there I am in the midst of them. Listen. In just a while, 1,000 people is going to be coming to that front lawn, I believe, today. And they're coming out there, and they're going to show God that He's still important in their life. You workers that are in here today, you have shown God that He's important in your life. When you take a day of the week and set it aside, now if you're online and you can't come to church, I understand, but at least get your family together and say, it's 9 o'clock this morning. Nobody's going to do anything. Put your social media away. This is our hour to show God He's still a priority in our life. Listen to me. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Now, I know that sounds rudimentary. It sounds oversimplistic, super. Jesus is the answer for the world today. I'm not talking about the Jesus who lived on this earth 2,000 years ago with sandals and a long robe and a beard. I'm talking about the Jesus in the book of Revelation. I say that Jesus is the answer for the world today. I'm talking about the Jesus whose hair is as white as wool. I'm talking about the Jesus whose face shines like the radiance of the sun in His full strength. I'm talking about the Jesus whose out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Out of His eyes comes a flames of fire. I'm talking about the Jesus who holds 7 stars in His right hand. I'm talking about the Jesus who turns the hearts of the fathers back to the kids. That's the Jesus that's the answer for the world today. I'm talking about the Jesus who makes wives fall back in love with their husbands. I'm talking about the Jesus who encourages the depressed. I'm talking about the Jesus who gives wisdom to the confused. I'm talking about the Jesus that puts power in our life to overcome. I'm talking about the Jesus who lifts the spirits up of those who are grieving over a loved one that has died. I'm talking about the Jesus who gives us power over devils. I'm talking about the Jesus who gives us the right to call on angels. I'm talking about that Jesus. That Jesus is the answer for the world today and the only answer. And if we get Him back into our lives and get Him as number one, He will heal first our world around us, and then He can heal the world at large. Oh, I got it off my chest. I feel better. I feel better. I know you're expecting some fabulous sermon today with a lot of depth to it. I just had to talk about that. Let's pray this in closing right now. Father God, Lord, I'm worked up. And I believe in that verse in the Bible that it says, be angry, yet don't sin. If I look at that verse right, God, it says that we're commanded to be angry. And it's time for the church to get angry. It's time for the church to stand up and be that 2% that influences the 98%. It's time for us to wake up out of our apathy. Oh God, wake your church up. Cause us to pray. Cause us to start sharing our faith again. God, we're looking to you. You be the healer of our nation. And let us start with our cities, Vegas and Bakersfield. Bring us back to that first love. And that's my prayer today. And God, I give the rest to you. Do with it what you want. We love you. We praise you. If you're at home today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, just simply go find a place alone and say, God, send your spirit and come and live in my body. I invite you to live inside of me and then give me the strength to follow Jesus. Give me the strength to start following God and his holy word. Do that and you'll be born again. I love you. Glad I'm back. I'll see you the next week or two with a different message. But let's go out there and let's be the church. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed with the ministry of the Word. For more information about CBS, visit our website at cbs.org. Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed with the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.